Blog Talk Radio.
We get ready for the big tag team title match between the Bar and the Shield tomorrow on Raw. Juice Robinson and Sami Callihan get the spotlight in New Japan. An ROH champion returns in a big way. A former Divas champion has her retirement match. And we welcome Maxwell Jacob Feinstein from MLW. It is December 3rd, 2017, and Wrestling Night in America starts now. Hold on, need that part. And welcome inside the PW Torch Livecast Studios. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. I am a columnist for the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and website and one half of your PW Torch Livecast top guys. And say hello to my co-host, Pro Wrestling Torch columnist, Mr. Greg Parks. Greg? Hello.
Hello.
Okay, then. Hi, there you go.
I think
much better.
I think my wireless just shut down briefly for a second. That's why I all of a sudden lost everything. But I am here.
You are here, and we have a lot to go over in the next 90 minutes or so. Our phone number, 515-605-9345. That's how you reach us. The email address is pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. Let's see. And also, you can reach us via the chat room. It's open right here at pwtorchlivecast.com. You go right in, make yourself at home, grab a sandwich, ask us some questions, and our Twitter feeds are up. Mine is Real Pat McNeil. His is Greg M. Parks. Greg, a lot of stuff happening. Not as busy as last weekend, perhaps, but I think probably actually the most interesting note we have is. We have WWE Week coming on USA Network, and NXT is going to be on USA. I know that's a lot of alphabet, but...
Yeah, that's an interesting call. I know that, NXT is certainly popular within the WWE Network subscriber base. I don't know how much the WWE Universe as a whole is familiar with a lot of the guys when they get called up to the main roster. This could be a couple things here. It could be WWE wanting to put the NXT product on the USA Network in order to get a wider base to sample it and hope that they like it enough to order the WWE Network for the weekly NXT show, as well as all the takeover specials that are exclusively on the network. And it also gives an opportunity for that bigger base to check out NXT to become familiar with some of the wrestlers, so when they do get called up to the main roster, they get more of a sustained reaction from the crowd. Obviously, when a new wrestler debuts, you have a lot of the hardcore fans who watch NXT on the network. They will react in the arena, but sometimes that reaction doesn't last very long. So this will give a wider range of people an opportunity to see some of the characters, see some of the wrestlers that are on top in NXT, familiarize themselves with those wrestlers, so when they are called to the main roster, they at least have a background on some of these men and women.
Now, I know that, stuff is not always taped in order for the NXT tapings, and I know that, and things are subject to change, but based on, if it was in order, it is amazingly, the December 13th show becomes one of the most loaded NXTs in a while, with Andrade San Almas having a match, an on-title match, Ember Moon against Peyton Royce, the Authors of Pain in action, Let's see, Roderick Strong versus Lars Sullivan to advance to the Fatal Four Way, and believe it or not, Aleister Black versus Adam Cole.
And a lot of those names you mentioned, Pat, whether this was done purposely or not, you know, the Andrade Cien Almas, the Authors of Pain, Lars Sullivan, these are all guys who have been talked about recently as possible call-ups sooner rather than later. So putting them all on that show on the USA Network could be WWE's way of sort of, as I said earlier, preparing the fan base for when these guys do get called up, they're at least recognizable to the WWE universe who did tune in to this NXT show. So kind of interesting that the names that are listed there are a lot of guys who have been speculated recently as possible call-ups.
And I've also got to say, yeah, I mean, there's people are going to be interested in the rating, you know, because Raw and SmackDown, they're the they're the mainstream products, and NXT is the stuff that only wrestling fans are interested in.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I wonder if this has anything to do with WWE's deal with the USA Network coming up. I can't imagine USA wanting a sixth hour of WWE programming on their networks. I also can't imagine WWE. Yeah, I can't imagine WWE taking away one of the exclusive properties of the WWE network and putting it on USA either. But you have to wonder the timing about it and whether or not if they can get, you know, an extra $10 million in the deal for giving USA an extra hour of programming a week at being NXT, maybe simulcasting on the USA Network and WWE Network, keeping the takeover specials on the network. If they can draw any more blood from that stone of the contract negotiation situation with the USA Network, they're going to do it. And if they have to add an outright of NXT, maybe they're willing to do it.
And you know, it's become obvious USA is not the only ones that they're going to be negotiating with. I mean, I don't know how serious other companies are, but, you know, with television ratings in general, especially in cable, going down, I mean, people are looking for a hook. And it's not going to be just USA Network. It's probably going to be something – Viacom might have somewhere to put it. I know apparently Fox Sports 1 or 2 would be – they would love to have a show with the ratings that that Raw gets. So we're going to keep an eye out on that. Let's see. Also this weekend, I open our mailbag, Greg, and we have mail. So you up for
Wonderful.
Starting the show with like this? Yeah, I know.
All right, let me go.
Okay. I'm not going to be able to pull down the. And now the computer locks up just as I'm starting to do that. That's okay, here we go. This is Frank from Farmingdale, New York. Frank says, "Hey, Greg and Pat, hope all is well. Just wondering what you think the plan may be for Reigns, considering they gave him the IC belt. I would guess since there's no Raw pay-per-view until the Rumble, perhaps they figure out some kind of rivalry leading to a championship match at the end. Maybe even Miz is back from filming Marine 6. Hopefully they keep Roman from winning the Rumble, because I think we can all agree it's a bad idea." Okay, let's take that first part here. Do you think I would be surprised at this point if Roman Reigns does not win the Rumble? And you know, maybe that's what they're going for. Maybe they're leading us all down that path. Greg, do you think we'll get a Reigns versus Miz rematch at the Rumble?
I guess it's possible. Miz does have a rematch, so. You think, I don't know what his schedule is as far as filming the Marine. I don't know when he's expected back, but you know, that's certainly a possibility. Reigns winning the Rumble, man, that I don't know.
In Philadelphia.
I know. And I get, you know, the sense that him winning the Rumble, he's obviously going to be in the main event against Brock Lesnar. So how do you get there? The easiest way would be by having him win the Rumble, but I feel like it would be a better story to have Reigns go at Lesnar in a more organic way and leave the Royal Rumble winner to be on the SmackDown side. But, you know, I know that Reigns winning the Rumble and then, you know, being the big dog and you know, wanting to challenge Lesnar would make him this, you know, alpha male that WWE is desperately trying to make him into. So I can certainly see the reasoning that they would want him to win the Royal Rumble. I just think WWE is really tempting fate if they were to do that again.
I mean, I think they can do everything that they want to do with the Rumble and setting up Lesnar versus Reigns, except if they do it with Reigns as a heel, you know, it'll probably work better. And if they don't do it with Reigns as a heel, the fans are going to boo him anyway.
Yeah, I think there will be more of a rejection of him as a babyface winning it, you know, especially after what happened the last time. And the wholesale rejection, if they went that direction again, you know, I think that a lot of fans are of the understanding it's going to be Reigns Lesnar. So, you know, maybe him winning the Rumble will almost be something that's expected by fans, and there won't be that kind of outrage. But when you're heading into WrestleMania season, you don't want to do anything that's going to tick off the customer base that orders the WWE Network and things like that. And WWE, there was that canceled WWE Network that was trending. I think it was after Reigns won the Rumble a few years ago, and it didn't amount to anything as far as network subscriber cancellations. So maybe they looked at that and said, hey, you know, I don't think it's going to be any worse than that. So, you know, whatever we try this time is going to be on a lower level as far as a reaction than that. It's not going to reach that height. And even when it didn't result in any kind of monetary loss from WWE's point of view. So they're really in the driver's seat. They can certainly do whatever they want with Roman Reigns and with the Royal Rumble and whatever like that. But, you know, it's just going to leave a lot of fans with bad taste in their mouth.
Okay. Also trending right now, Jim Johnston, the longtime composer of WWE theme music. His contract was allowed to expire after 32 years, and he's not being brought back. The reason, according to Dave Meltzer, is that WWE is leaning more on CFO to do their theme songs, and didn't think he was worth the money to keep him. It's definitely it's a change that's been, you know, that's been coming for a while, but it's definitely going to be a bit of a shock, I think.
Yeah, and I don't mind the change to CFO. I think he's put out several pretty good themes. You know, Jim Johnston had a very successful run in WWE, longer than a lot of people do. And, you know, we know WWE getting rid of guys like Mark Eaton, longtime employees or staffers. I guess we shouldn't be surprised that someone like Johnston is let go, especially because so much more of the music is coming from CFO and that, you know, that type of organization. So I guess it's not that big of a surprise, since things seem to be trending in that direction anyway.
I should get back to Frank's other question. Let's see. The next quandary: if you have a SmackDown guy win it, whom? Nakamura? Or will AJ drop the belt to Jinder and then win the Rumble? Or will it be John Cena going for his record 17th title run? I don't know that I'd want to do AJ Styles versus Nakamura. I'm not saying they wouldn't have a good match, but I don't think that's necessarily where the money is. And generally, they don't like doing, you know, babyface versus babyface in big WrestleMania matches, although that seems to be the only time they do them these days.
For as locked in as the Raw main event of Brock Lesnar Roman Reigns seems for WrestleMania, there's still a lot up in the air on the SmackDown side. AJ Styles is the champion now, but we really don't know who's going to be the champion come WrestleMania. We don't know who's going to be the champion come Royal Rumble. So it's kind of hard to say. I mean, if we stick with the idea that AJ Styles is champion, certainly Nakamura is a guy. You know, Kevin Owens, depending on where things go with his deal with Shane McMahon and Daniel Bryan, seems more concerned about feuding with the SmackDown leadership than, you know, anything of substance elsewhere on the card. Nakamura, I just don't see him as a Rumble winner. Certainly Nakamura versus Styles, I think, would be a really good WrestleMania title match from the SmackDown side. Like you said, it would be babyface versus babyface, and I certainly wouldn't turn either of them heading into WrestleMania. So that's That would be pretty high on my list. I wouldn't do anything with Jinder Mahal up on the main event or the title match at WrestleMania. So, yeah, there's still a lot in play on the SmackDown side.
Okay, we're about due for our first break. When we come back, a young man who made quite the impression at the October MLW One Shot Show. He is Maxwell Jacob Feinstein, otherwise known as MJF. He'll be on, and we'll get to your calls and emails and so much more. Wrestling Night in America on PW Torch Livecast continues after this timeout. But first, Greg and I have to talk about our sponsor. Wrestling Night in America is presented by Harry's. Harry's.com, fine razors and shaving items, and they provide them very well, Greg. You know, last week we talked about how good the Harry's was and how good the shaving was, and I think maybe this week we should spend just a moment talking about the shave cream, because, I expensive shave cream, we've all seen it, it's not always that impressive, but I did get to try Harry's shave cream, the aloe one that, Greg, that you probably got as well, and I've got to say, I've tried that, and I've tried I've had the Gillette aloe shaving cream for a while, and I got to say, I like the Harry's better.
Yeah, I had a really good experience with it. I've used it a couple times now, and it really works. I have no complaints about it whatsoever. It goes on well, and it really protects your skin very nicely with the shave.
Mm-hmm. And now Harry's obviously has they're one of the people who they're one of the team that's gotten into these razor plans where you get the razors and extra blades and shaving cream delivered to your doorstep, and you got to admit that's very convenient. I mean, nobody likes going out to Walmart or to one of the drugstores and getting razors. It's a pain in the rear end, and sometimes you're in those stores where they have to break the razors out of the special casing. But Harry's is Harry's does a great job. It's all about a great shave at a fair price, and Harry's is so confident that you're going to love their blades. They will give you a trial shave set for free. All you have to do is sign up at harrys.com/pwtorch. You pay for shipping. The kit, a $13 value, is free. And what the idea is, once you try it, you're not going to go back. And also, if you just go to their homepage. If you're looking for a gift for that special someone, hopefully someone who shaves, who doesn't have a big neck beard, there are different sets that they have. They have the Truman set with the gift box, $20. The Winston set, $30. I don't know what the difference is, but yeah, they have all sorts of, if you're going to give something to the man in your life and you know that they shave and you know that they're not too impressed with the current products they get, why not? It's they're $20 sets, $30 sets, and they offer free shipping for orders over $10. It's all at harrys.com. Weighted ergonomic razor handles, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and of course a travel blade cover. It's harrys.com. And we'll be back with more after this timeout.
Rich Fan, formerly of the Primetime Friday Laughcast with Bruce Mitchell here. I want to tell you about my new show, The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. On Saturdays at 6 p.m. Eastern weekly, join us as we dive into a single subject, some weeks as serious as race, gender, and stereotyping in wrestling, to as fun as which IC champs could fit into another era, and anything in between. We'll have guests from inside and outside the Torch family to cover the subject of the week, and of course your calls and emails. Prior to each episode, I'll put out on social media the subject and some notes. Places where you can also bone up on the subject of the week, if you're so inclined. I'll also devote shows to two of my favorite international promotions, New Japan Pro Wrestling and Progress. All are welcome. No secret handshakes here, because Saturday nights on the live cast are officially all right for diving.
Back with more Wrestling Night in America here on PW Torch Livecast, number 515-605-9345. Get on the phone, get on the air. It's just that simple. And we have callers waiting, Greg, and the reason we have callers waiting is because we have another special guest here tonight. Take it away.
Introduce our guest star. That's what it's time to do. So it really makes me happy to introduce to you.
our guest has a busy week ahead as he'll be wrestling Thursday night on the Major League Wrestling Never Say Never pay-per-view against Joey Ryan. He will also be working Friday for Chaotic Wrestling, Saturday for Combat Zone, and Sunday on the Beyond Wrestling pay-per-view. Please welcome Mr. Maxwell Jacob Feinstein, otherwise known as MJF. Now, do we call you Maxwell or Mr. Feinstein or MJF? How does this work?
I'm sorry. So can you guys hear me right now?
I can hear you. Greg, can you hear him?
Great. So what I'd like to understand is why I just had to sit through 4 minutes of straight commercials and then, what was that? You were talking about shave gel for 4 minutes straight. Did I get that right?
I think we clocked in at under 4 minutes, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, disgusting. Look, I'm a very busy man. One, you got my name wrong. It's Friedman. It's not Feinstein anymore, okay?
Okay?
Two, I have an extremely busy schedule. I don't know
MJF.
If you guys are aware of this, but I am the youngest and fastest rising star in professional wrestling today, and the fact that I've been treated as such like this is gross, okay? I'm not the bottom of the barrel. I'm not some jabroni. I'm one of the most important people in the sport. Now, do you guys understand who you're talking to right now? You're talking to MJF. You're talking to the granddaddy of them all. So I hope you guys have good questions for me. I hope your fans aren't stupid. I hope I can get through this without vomiting. Okay. What are we doing here?
You know what we could. You know what, Greg? What do you think? Say we're going to give Mr. Friedman a call here. Wait, hold on. No, that guy dropped off. Darn it. Well, let's start in with our own questions. For a lot of people who yeah, haven't followed your rise. I think it was a revelation, Mr. Friedman, you defeating Jimmy Uta on that MLW one-shot show, and you obviously impressing people so much that you got moved up the ladder to face Joey Ryan, who is a veteran in this business, who's done a lot. How fast do you think you'll end up rising here?
Question, and I'm not shocked that all the questions are probably going to end up being dumb. First of all, if you weren't following me prior to MLW One Shot, congratulations, you live under a rock. Second of all, Joey Ryan, great guy, okay? I do have respect for him. I do understand that he's been in this business, in this sport, for a very long time. But here's the thing. In 2 short years, I've done more than most people have in 20, all right? I'm no rookie. I'm a 2-year vet, all right? And that's not self-proclaimed. That's what people do. I have guys in locker rooms that have been wrestling for close to 30 years come up to me after their matches asking me for advice. It's not the other way around. So if anything, Joey Ryan should feel special that he gets to enter the ring with a prodigy.
Yes, you're trained by Pat Buck and Curt Hawkins. People may not know that who have not followed your career. The question I think a lot of fans have is... how do you plan to handle Joey Ryan's wide variety of dong-related offense?
Yeah, here's the thing, okay? I'm not going to play this up in any way. I want to make this very clear to any of the listeners listening, and to you two as well. I'm not going to play into his game. I'm not going to touch it. There will be no puns about his dong. I am not the kind of wrestler that does that. Do you guys know why? Because the difference between me and everybody else is they play wrestler. I don't play wrestler. I am a wrestler. I am a professional wrestler. And as such, I do not plan on going anywhere near Joey Ryan's dong style.
Okay. Probably a wise move strategy-wise. Greg, you had a question?
Yes, I have a dumb question I'd like to ask Mr. Friedman. Is there any wrestler that you grew up and kind of patterned your style after for those listening who may not have seen you in action yet? Or, you know, are you trying to kind of set forth your own style in business?
I patterned myself after no one. There's no one who's been in this industry anywhere near as good as me in-ring and on a microphone. But what I can say is this. There are people that I have been fans of in professional wrestling. Guys like Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, guys like Roddy Piper, guys like Ric Flair, those were the guys that I enjoyed watching. But if you watch my in-ring style, if you watch my promos, if you watch anything of mine, you just can't help but think innovator.
Innovator. Okay. Well, Mr. Friedman, why don't we go ahead and open up our phones and let everybody talk to MJF, which is why they're here, 515-605-9345. Let's see. Let's start us off in the 814 area code. 814, please state your name and town. You are on the air with Mr. MJF, and whatever you do, don't waste his time.
Please.
This is Ryan from Cumberland, Maryland.
Hi, Ryan.
Hi. First question is for Maxwell. Why did you change your name to Friedman instead of Feinstein? Does it have to do with Rob Dust's team that was sort of has like a shady reputation in the wrestling business?
Absolutely not. I changed my last name to Friedman because everybody was writing my name wrong in all the bills for over a year. I finally spoke up. I finally talked to management. I got my lawyers involved, and I made it very clear that no one should be able to make that mistake ever again. It was Friedman. It's always been Friedman, and forever will be Friedman. I'm not going to lie to you. It doesn't shock me that your question was stupid because you are from Maryland, which is one of the dumbest states.
Okay, now we'll let Ryan. We allow people to ask up to three questions. Ryan, keep going.
What am I? A okay. Three? Why three? All right, go ahead, Ryan. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. My second question is on Jessica Havoc. I know you wrestled her once. You see a future of her as a intergender wrestler competing against men based on your match with her.
I didn't. What was the question? I'm sorry. You're breaking up.
Whether Jessica Havoc is good enough to compete with men other than yourself.
Let's face facts here, right? Jessica Havoc's win over me was what I like to call a fluke. I don't know if you ever heard of that, or maybe that's a type of fish to you in Maryland, but what a fluke means in my eyes, it's when somebody gets an upset victory due to dumb luck. Am I saying that Jessica Havoc can't beat other men? I'm sure she can. Most men in our field are wusses, but can she beat me ever again? The answer is a very clear, short cut no.
All right. Makes perfect sense. Keep going, Ryan.
Okay, my final question is, I know you team with Jonathan Gresham sometimes. You see a future in Ring of Honor with him?
Do I see a future in Ring of Honor with Jonathan Gresham? I see a future everywhere. Right now I'm one of the hottest free agents going today. Wherever I want to go, I will go. I currently work for nearly every single top promotion on the independent level. I have yet to work for any television companies in professional wrestling, and if Ring of Honor is one of the first places I go to on your TV stream, it wouldn't shock me, and I'm sure it wouldn't shock anybody listening to this podcast right now.
Okay, well, listen, Ryan, thanks for checking in. I'm sure you'll be calling again in the near future.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Okay, glad to do it. And it's just that simple. The number is 515-605-9345. Line open for you to talk to Maxwell Jacob Friedman of MLW Combat Zone Beyond, Chaotic Wrestling, WrestlePro, Maryland Championship Wrestling. I'm probably going to leave a few out, so why don't you finish it, sir?
Oh, New England Wrestling, Limitless Wrestling, Wrestle Circus. Oh, man, Black Label Pro.
That's a good company.
Seth Revolver, New England Wrestling, Rockstar Pro Legacy. Find me also at AIW sometime. Should I continue?
No, I think that's... I think that's a good broad spectrum there. We can get back to that later if time permitting, of course. All right. Now, Ryan brought up an interesting point. You know, he's talking about you and Jonathan Gresham. Do you see your future? I mean, you obviously see your future as a singles wrestler because you know, as you talked about your prowess. But do you think there's a place for you in tag team wrestling under limited circumstances?
I mean, here's the thing. Me and Jonathan Gresham are both top-tier athletes. We're both a part of the Dream Team for Power Bomb Wrestling. We're both managed by Stokely Hathaway. So if the question is if you foresee me tagging with Gresham again, the answer is yes, it could absolutely happen. Right time, right place, right contract. Here's the thing. I won't put my nose up to anything as long as there's good money involved, and that's the difference between me and everybody else in this industry. They'll take anything. But that's not how I operate. I go where the money goes. So if the money's in tag team wrestling on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, what have you, I'll be tag team wrestling. If the money's in a singles match, I'll be having a singles match.
Okay, good point. Tell you what, we are about due for a break. Mr. Friedman, are you going to hang with us through the break?
Unfortunately, yes.
Okay, well, that sounds wonderful. Wrestling Night in America will return on PW Torch Livecast after this timeout.
I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown, with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
And we're back with more of Wrestling Night in America here on PW Torch Livecast. Our guest, Maxwell Jacob Friedman from Major League Wrestling, Beyond Wrestling, and multiple other promotions. Again, you can, if you have an email question for him, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. The chat room is open. Twitter is open. We are anxious to hear from you, and I know that our guest probably feels the same way. Let's talk about this Thursday night show, because it's the next opportunity, Mr. Friedman, for wrestling fans to see you in action. How can people check out the MLW show with you taking on Joey Ryan?
I mean, there's gonna be multiple ways. I know that if you are part of the MLW family and you have an account, you will be able to watch the show after it is streamed. I know if you are at the show, obviously it'll be in Florida at the Gilt Nightclub. So, there's a couple different ways to watch it, but I think the best way to watch it, obviously, is going to be live at the club, because that is the only way you will be able to touch, smell, and feel yours truly, Maxwell Jacob Friedman.
Are you inviting fans to touch, smell, and feel you?
I mean, I'm giving them the option.
Okay.
In all honesty, the only way that's going to happen is if they're attractive and a woman. To be frank,
makes sense.
I'm going to be real with you. The reason why I'm even on this awful, awful show is because Court Bauer begged and pleaded on his hands and knees, and he said, MJF, we need you for this. You're the only person that can represent our company properly. Please, for the love of God. I said, fine, just Venmo me the money, and I'll do it. And voila, that is why you are graced with my presence. So what I would like you guys to do is ask me questions that are actually worth my time so I don't fall asleep. Is that fair?
Let's see. Greg, do you have one that's worth his time? Or?
Oh, that's a lot of pressure, but I'll try.
I know.
You were on the first MLW show, MLW One Shot, over the summer. You're on the second one since. MLW has sort of had this reincarnation almost. What does it mean to you to be on the first two MLW shows run by Court Bauer? Does it mean anything special for you to be on these shows, or is it just another place where you can make some money and another place for you to kind of show your wares?
I mean, MLW has a special place in my heart because of the fact that they understand talent when they see it, and I get treated as such. MLW is a top-tier promotion in not just the independent level, but in wrestling as a whole. I think if you are a wrestling fan, there is so much of a wide variety on every card to fill your palate. You have your high flyers, your technical wrestlers, your grapplers, your brawlers, and then you have, you know, your top guys, and you can only have one of those, and that would be me. So, yes, MLW actually does have meaning to me. Is it also a good place where I get a good large sum of money, a nice flight, and a beautiful hotel? Yes, but that's not what wrestling is entirely about. Sometimes wrestling is about the passion of being able to show people on a large scale just how good you are at your job. And God, am I good at my job.
Okay. That makes sense. Since you are, you know, a big part of MLW, maybe we could get some analysis from you about a couple of the other matches that are taking place Thursday. One of the big ones is a no disqualification match. Shane Strickland and our friend John Hennigan taking on Darby Allin and Jimmy Havoc. It's definitely an unusual match for guys from, you know, who have made their marks elsewhere in the wrestling world coming here for a big tag team event. How do you think that's going to go down?
I mean, I'm not in the match, but if right. I had to put my money on one team or the other, I think I'd put my money on Darby and Jimmy Havoc because of the fact that these guys are just loose cannons. They'll do whatever it takes to win. They're not afraid to bend the rules. And for some strange reason, guys like Shane Strickland and like John Hennigan, they care. They want the fans to like them. They want the admiration. They care about that stuff for some reason. But Jimmy Havoc and Darby, they don't care if the fans love them or hate them. All they care about is getting the W, and I think that's going to be the big major difference in this matchup.
Okay, I think we'll ignore some of the matches that are below you on the scale here. Actually, you've jumped ahead of a lot of experienced people from the looks of it, but Matt Riddle and Tom Lawler. We've had Matt Riddle on – well, I've had Matt Riddle on the show before. Tom Lawler pretty much works for another website, but this is this is almost more of a mixed martial arts match than a wrestling match, although Riddle is a great wrestler.
I mean, here's the thing. I've wrestled Tom Lawler, haven't wrestled Matt Riddle. I can tell you that Tom Lawler is he hits hard. He really does, and I'm sure Matt Riddle does as well. These are two guys, formerly UFC fighters. They have a different level of intensity than most other guys in the roster. So not me. Obviously, I could beat both these guys up with one arm tied behind my back, possibly both. But what you're going to see here is two top-tier athletes beating the holy hell out of each other, trying to prove male dominance. Because that's what these two guys are all about. They don't think like I do. They're not 100% concerned about, you know, getting in, getting out, getting their payday. What they're concerned about is proving their dominance, proving they're the better man. So this matchup, in my opinion, is going to be the hardest-hitting matchup, not just on an MLW card, but on any card that anybody's ever seen.
Yeah, I can see that. And one more with, let's see. Well, you talked about attractive women, and one more with, Santana Garrett and Laurel Van Ness. Laurel made some news. She is out of Impact Wrestling. She is, I think, going to concentrate on companies like MLW. Other than the eye candy, what are your thoughts on their matchup in terms of wrestling?
Hey, bud, all I know is I'm going to sit back, watch, and enjoy, okay? I have no more notes than that. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
You're a virgin. But, I'm going to have to
really?
Watch
okay.
that. Sure.
Well, don't tell my wife. Anyway. All right. So this is available on MLW TV, as we talked about. It's happening on Thursday night. It's also it'll be available after it goes on the MLW streaming network. Let's see. So a big show, and there is another big show that you were involved with on Sunday. That's also going to be available on WWN. The Beyond Wrestling show Sunday afternoon, 2 p.m. in Melrose, Massachusetts, and another. This will be interesting. Maxwell Jacob Friedman against Josh Briggs.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Me and Josh have gone one-on-one multiple times. I believe this might be our fifth match, if I'm not mistaken. Whenever we go in there, we have match of the night. That's undisputed. We just, in that ring, we are both two top-tier athletes, and we can't help but put on the show of the night. But here's the thing.
Right.
Here's the difference between me and Josh. Josh is a big, fat, dumb, stupid oaf who doesn't understand he can go toe-to-toe with a guy like me. He can't. And that is why, out of all of our matches, I have won consistently over and over and over again, with the exception of one time. He got very lucky. He cheated. Congrats, Josh. Anybody can cheat. But this time around, I can assure you, I will not be losing this match. I am going to break Josh Briggs' arm. I'm going to make him tap and scream like a little girl. So if anybody has any doubts about whether or not they want to tune in to this Beyond show, I can assure you're going to want to tune in, because I am literally going to break down, decimate, in a calculated manner, one of the biggest, baddest men going on the independent scene today in Josh Briggs.
Okay, and I should also point out for fans who just can't wait until Thursday, the MLW one-shot pay-per-view, the last one, which MJF wrestled on, is available on their website for $4.99. That seems quite reasonable, all things considered. Greg, do you have something else for Mr. Friedman?
Honestly, I think it's reasonable. They should bump that price, if you ask me, especially considering the match that me and Jimmy Uta had. Completely five stars. It's not something you want to miss, so definitely give that a look.
Okay.
You mentioned some strong opponents, Jimmy Uta, Ms. Briggs there as well. I mean, for all of your experience in the wrestling business, who do you think has been your toughest opponent so far, or an opponent that's matched up best against you thus far in your career?
The answer is no one. Another dumb question. What was your name again, bud?
Greg?
Yeah, well, you should change it to Dope, because that's exactly what you are. So, Dope, here's the issue with your question. Your question, it almost hints that there's anybody up to my level in professional wrestling. And newsflash, there's not. So how about you keep questions like that to yourself? All right, Dopey? I'd really appreciate that.
I'll get on that name change tomorrow.
I appreciate that. Legal change. I want it documented and tweeted. You can tweet that at me, @V_MJF on Twitter and on Instagram.
Yes, for those of you listening from Maryland, underscore is the little underline thing. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Glad I could help. MJF, we talked about how nobody in the business is at your level. Given that, you're 21 years old, you've already made it near the top here. Who are you looking to face to signify your dominance, to show people, how will you show people that? Who do you have to beat to show people that they can't touch you?
I mean, there are a lot of amazing talents out there that I need to wrestle and haven't yet. There are guys like Cody Rhodes, guys like Michael Elgin. There's a lot of names I can throw into that hat. But at the end of the day, you're going to end up seeing all those matches anyway. Because what happens when you're a top guy is you end up wrestling other top guys. You'll see in 2018, if there's a top independent talent, or hell, a top talent at all in professional wrestling, they'll be next to me on a match graphic somewhere. To answer your question, any name that I haven't wrestled yet, I will. It's just a matter of time.
Okay, well, one name that you have wrestled and you are wrestling this coming weekend, and wow, yes, he's everywhere, folks, coming up this Saturday at the Cage of Death when you take on Joey Janela. And this is for the Wired TV title. Does it require a different sort of mindset to go into Combat Zone, or is this just another event?
The mindset you need is you need to dumb yourself down. Here's the thing, okay? This lunatic completely and illegally attacked me, stole my belt, went off to England. It makes me sick. I shouldn't have to wrestle this bozo in the first place. They should give me my belt back, and I should be on my merry way. But you know what? So be it. If you want to put me in a match with Joey Janela, okay, who's the more dominant man, who the better man is, I think that goes without saying. I think everybody's fully aware it's me. Here's Joey's problem. Joey's issue is the fact that he's so concerned with Penelope Ford, okay? Newsflash, bud, he's not your girl anymore, okay? She's mine. She has been mine, and she will be mine until I don't want her to be mine anymore, okay? Bad boy. And I really hope you're listening to this, because if you are, I want you to know that this Saturday, I'm going to put you to your absolute limit, okay, bud? You're not ever, ever going to be the same again. If you thought that bump with Mandig off the roof was bad, just you wait. Just you wait.
Okay, so once again, it is MLW's Never Say Never this Thursday night, available on MLW TV, and I'm sure they'll explain how you pay for that and how you watch it. That's at Guilt Light Nightclub in Orlando, and it'll be MJF, Maxwell Jacob Friedman against Joey Ryan. Also on the card, Matt Riddle versus Tom Lawler, Shane Strickland, John Hennigan against Darby Allin, Jimmy Havoc in a no DQ match, and Santana Garrett versus Laurel Van Ness. That's an awful lot of entertainment, folks. MJF, how can the fans keep track of you via social media?
I mean, you can keep following me at @_MJF. Could you remind the fans what an underscore is again one more time? I just want to make sure they get it.
It's that little underline thing. It's where you have to, you have to go like you're doing a dash, and then you hit the shift button. It's not that complicated, though.
Thank you. Thank you for the help. You can find me there, and it's the same on Instagram, @_MJF. And you will be able to find me this Thursday at MLW when I go toe-to-toe with the man who is the king of, not Don style, but of tomfoolery. Look, if you're listening to this, if you are listening to this, I want you to know no one's going to touch it. No one ever will touch it. I'm going to make sure that none of those fans get to leave home with the satisfaction that I even remotely came close to your dog. Okay, Joey Ryan? My name is Maxwell Jacob Friedman. I'm better than you, and you know it. I am about to hang up the phone. This has been an awful time. This guy that I've been talking to, he has clearly made it very clear what an underscore is, and I hope you were able to listen. And to the other guy, you better get that name legally changed. If you're so help me God, you will be hearing from my lawyers. Goodbye.
Okay. All right. That is Maxwell Jacob Friedman from MLW and beyond, and a number of other promotions. And Greg, he told us.
He sure did. MLW on Thursday night. I'm not saying I'm going to be cheering for Joey Ryan. I'm going to be cheering for Joey Ryan.
Okay, well, there you go. And let's see if Soundboard Vince McMahon has anything to say about this.
How brutal!
Yeah, well, I kind of figured that. Okay, well, on that note, Wrestling Night in America will return following this timeout. You are listening to PWTorchLivecast.com. Don't you go anywhere.
You love pro wrestling podcasts, but you might not have time to listen to all of them. We'll help you decide which ones to listen to and keep you up to date on the ones you're missing at pwpodcasts.com. That website features written recaps of all of the top pro wrestling related podcasts, including Steve Austin, Bruce Pritchard, Edge and Christian, and so on. Check it out. It's pwpodcasts.com, your home for written recaps of all pro wrestling personality hosted podcasts.
Wrestling Night in America returns here on PW Torch Livecast. Once again, the number 515-605-9345. Tomorrow night on PW Torch Livecast, it's MMA for wrestling fans. Be sure to check that out and check your local listings. A very popular show here. And, of course, on Wednesday, it's Road Stories with Jim Valley, Wrestling Road Stories. Jim gets a kick out of that. If you missed it this past week, it was Bruce Mitchell and Britt Whitmire filling in for Jim. And the week before that, it was our annual Thanksgiving edition of the PW Torch Wayback Playback for free. So be sure to check that out. And, Greg, what can we be expecting from you in the pages of this week's Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter?
Well, coming up in the new Torch newsletter, set to be released this week, I will be writing a column on the latest NXT women call-up to WWE, see where they may fit in with the SmackDown and Raw women's roster, and also take a look at the state of the NXT women's roster now that they've lost six women to the main roster. So just kind of a overall landscape look at women's wrestling in WWE.
Yep, that sounds like a lot of fun. Check that out. Subscribe now, pwtorch.com/govip. Okay, over in the chat room, let's see. Derek Salmonson writes, Nakamura wasn't deemed important enough to be on a SmackDown Live show. I felt that quite odd, a number of others as well. Okay, so there you go. All right, do we have anything new from Frank? I think we got, let's see. I think that was it from Frank. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com is the other way to reach us. So, Greg, we've now reached the point where there's going to be several weeks of build-up on Raw for the WWE Royal Rumble. And that kind of starts tomorrow. Not only do we have the tag title match, which we talked about in the top of the show, we also have Sasha Banks and Paige. And, this is it might seem a little bit soon to get to this point, but I think fans are ready to see this match again.
Yeah, and it being announced so far ahead of time, you wonder if it's going to be in the main event slot. WWE has kind of used that end of the last hour what we traditionally know as the main event of Raw to place some important matches, but not so important, put it on in the third hour, which they usually take a pretty significant hit in the ratings. So it could be positioned as the true main event of the show this Monday night. I think this is a story that needs to be really fleshed out, and it needs to go forward at a pretty good pace, because when you throw three new women into the mix here, as WWE has done on both Raw and SmackDown, I don't think you can kind of sit around and wait for fans to accept the story. I think you've got to go forward with it as much as you can, and certainly Paige versus Sasha Banks. I would expect not anywhere near a clean finish here. I would expect the involvement of some of the recent call-ups, maybe some women to defend Sasha Banks, who have been on the main roster there, to kind of continue that story forward. So I think it's certainly interesting that they're going with Sasha Paige so early, but I think it's the right call.
Okay, let's see. Raw last night was in Salt Lake City. Opening match, Bray Wyatt defeats Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy starts chanting delete again. It's now known that Matt Hardy is going to be able to use the broken Matt Hardy shtick, assuming that WWE signs off on it. And that's an interesting question. Yeah.
And I assume they have, given the tease last night and given the tease this past Monday. I certainly don't think it will be the same exact character. I think WWE and Matt Hardy will put a different spin on it. I don't think, even if Matt Hardy had the rights to the broken character from the beginning, I don't think simply transplanting a character that worked in TNA into the WWE environment is the way to go. I think the right way to go is to show something different, add a different layer to it, add a different tilt to it. And I think Matt Hardy has shown with the Broken Matt character the creative chops to where he can take a successful character like Broken Matt and change it slightly or alter it enough to be different and still work on this level. With Jeff Hardy out until maybe WrestleMania next year, you know, Matt's going to be going it alone as a singles wrestler for a while. And this comes at a good time for him, because otherwise he'll just get lost in the shuffle and he'll be a guy to do jobs to big names on TV. So hopefully this will give him a little more to sink his teeth into.
Okay, after that six-man tag, Apollo Crews, Heath Slater, and Rhino defeat Curt Hawkins, Curtis Axel, and Dash Wilder. Asuka's undefeated streak continues as she defeated Alicia Fox. Finn Balor beats Carl Anderson. Elias beats Jason Jordan. And let's see, we get Bayley and Sasha Banks again beating Alexa Bliss and Nia Jax with Mickie James as special guest referee. That's, you know, that sounds pretty good. I guess the question is, who is next, Greg, to go after Alexa Bliss?
And it, you know, it could be Paige, depending on what happens on Monday night, depending on who she settles into a feud with. It appears it's going to be Sasha Banks here, but with this match, it could pivot from Sasha to Alexa Bliss. There was talk of an Alexa Bliss babyface turn after the three new women attacked her on Raw. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, I would assume Paige versus Alexa would be the direction. But maybe WWE wants to work their way up there. Maybe they're kind of using Sasha as a stepping stone for Paige to get back into the title picture. Maybe not wanting to throw her right back in after such a significant layoff for her, and maybe wanting to sort of earn her way back into that title picture in the eyes of the fans.
And Greg, they're starting to think about WrestleMania now, so I would not be I wouldn't be too surprised if you know, maybe Alexa Bliss and Paige gets held off until then.
Yeah, that's true too. You know, this is I think a long-term story that we're in the middle of, so if she takes out Sasha Banks here early on, she could certainly move. Again, you're moving up the ladder, and it's basically WWE's whims as to when she gets to she gets to Alexa Bliss. It could be right after Sasha Banks, or she could go through some others to get to Bliss eventually for the women's title. The problem is you're going to have to hold off Asuka from going after the women's title until after WrestleMania at that point, because you don't want her to I wouldn't think you would want her to lose to Alexa Bliss between now and WrestleMania. I think when she did make her call-up, a lot of people had her penciled in as a possible women's championship challenger at WrestleMania. Could do a three-way. Could do Asuka, Paige, and Alexa Bliss, certainly. The multiple-person match at WrestleMania is not uncommon, so that could be a direction they're looking as well.
Okay. Let's see. Also coming on Raw, at Salt Lake City was Enzo Amore defeating Kalisto. On Raw, it's going to be a four-way. Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali, Drew Gulak, and Tony Nese. The winner faces Rich Swann next week, and that person gets a title shot at Enzo Amore. But we've also heard that WWE has come to terms with Neville, and WWE have come to terms, and Neville's going to be back at some point. Are we seeing a setup guy for Enzo Amore here?
Well, there's a couple different directions they could go. They could have somebody like Drew Gulak or Tony Nese win and put them opposite Enzo Amore, who they've been stumping for lately. Or they could do Cedric Alexander and have him fight Rich Swann, two guys who have formed a tag team in the cruiserweight division, and sort of be a friendly competition here as to see who gets the shot at Enzo. And really, I don't think you could go wrong with either Cedric or Rich Swann as a challenger to Enzo. Those are the guys who probably have the ability to get the best match out of Enzo he's going to get, and can keep the crowd interested in it with Enzo's skills at this point. So those are the kind of the guys I'm looking at.
Okay, we're going to go to the telephones, a Skype call. Go ahead, caller. You are on Wrestling Night in America on PW Torch Livecast.
Hey, it's Greg from Toledo.
Hey, I'm Greg. It's Craig from Toledo.
Excellent.
Okay, let's do it this way. Let's ask Soundboard Vince McMahon. Soundboard Vince McMahon, are you ready for Craig from Toledo?
You have to wonder what is going through his mind.
Okay, well, there you go. I guess he is. All right, Craig, what do you have?
I love you guys. First of all, the Matt Hardy thing, I was thinking about it at work last night and how the Broken Universe thing was like it was great because it was like a bad B-movie, but it was so awesome in its awkwardness and inside jokes and stuff like that. And then I thought about, I don't know if either of you are Kevin Smith fans, how when
I've heard of him,
he made Clerks. Right, and Clerks was great, and everybody was like really into it. And then Kevin Smith got a whole bunch of money and made Mallrats, and everybody hated it. I love Mallrats, but a lot of people hated it because it wasn't the original, the original Clerks. So I'm wondering if that's going to have the same effect on this Hardy thing.
Okay, so your question is Matt Hardy's Broken Universe in WWE going to be the equivalent of Mallrats? It depends on how much interference Matt gets creatively and whether they're going to let him do the sort of things he was doing in TNA in the first place. Greg?
Yeah, that's a big one. How much involvement is Matt going to have creatively? And like I said earlier, how different is it going to be? If it's a shot for shot remake, to continue the movie theme here, I don't think it's going to work as well. But if he changes it enough to fit within the confines of the WWE universe and to feel like it is something different from the Broken Universe, then I think it can work.
Yeah, and I don't think WWE is allergic to bad comedy. It's just a matter of It's just a matter of finding something that will appeal to Vince McMahon so he'll think it'll be worthy to put on television. So I'd recommend some poop jokes. I think that might work. Okay, tell you what, Greg, we're coming up on a break. Let's do a cliffhanger. Craig, will you stay with us through the break? All right, there it is. Wrestling Night in America will return on PW Torch Livecast following this.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at PWTorch.com.
Wrestling Night in America returns here on PW Torch Livecast, the number 515-605-9345. I'm Pat McNeil. He is Greg Parks, and you might have missed a visit from MLW's Maxwell Jacob Friedman earlier in the show, but you did make it. You know, if you just joined us, you missed that, but you did make it in time to hear Craig from Toledo. So that's so you got that going for you, which is nice. Let's bring Craig back into the broadcast here. Hold on, as soon as I. Gosh darn it! It's hard to find. You know that's the problem. I think I put too much stuff on here, Greg. It's hard to find what I'm looking for at any given moment. Here we go. Oh, there it is. All right. Okay, so Craig, you had more questions for us.
Yes,
Craig.
Okay. Hello.
Yeah, we're right here.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on Skype, so it's a little delay. Sorry.
Understood.
I play a lot of WWE Supercard, and they just put up their Season 4. And in Season 4, they have a new game called Elimination Chamber, and that's going on this week. And in the Elimination Chamber, it's all women. All the women cards are in the Elimination Chamber, yeah. So I was wondering, maybe... If WWE has input, I mean, I know they advertise on Raw and SmackDown and stuff like that. If they have any kind of input, like they're trying to maybe get us used to the fact that Elimination Chamber might be women, there might be women in it this year.
Okay. That is an interesting point, Greg. Greg, there's been a lot of talk already this year about the possibility of doing, say, a 20 women women's Royal Rumble, you know, coming up in January because, as usual, they'll have 6 hours to fill. What do you think of a women's elimination chamber?
I think if you do a women's Royal Rumble, you kind of see what the reaction is for that and how that goes, and that may be the deciding factor to do a women's elimination chamber. When are they running elimination chamber this year, by the way? Didn't that change?
I think it might have. I will look it up because one brand's going to get Fastlane, the other brand's going to get Elimination Chamber. That's just how they do it.
Okay, so if they do the Women's Royal Rumble, they may decide based off of the success or failure of that to do a Women's Elimination Chamber. I don't think it's a bad idea to do. You know, we've seen them before do two Hell in a Cell matches, one women's match, one a men's match. So certainly it's possible to do two Elimination Chamber matches on the same show and make them feel different. I think if you did one with the men, the title match, and then one with the women's title match, I think you could make them different enough to make it worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, I think that they've actually done multiple Elimination Chamber matches on an Elimination Chamber before. So, yeah, I think we can see that. Let me look. Okay, Elimination Chamber will be a Raw pay-per-view, which takes place February 25th. So yeah, that's just 1 month back to front. But I can see it, and I think obviously part of the reason why these six women were called up from NXT, not only to not only to add depth to the women's roster, but you're going to want names that people have seen on television if you do a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, and by February, ideally, the names are over enough to where you can put them in an elimination chamber and people care about that. You know, it's one thing to do it in February. If you were trying to do it in December and call them up in November, it may be, it may be a tough sell, but you're given enough lead time by having it in February to where everybody should have their characters over by that point.
Okay, and that's February 25th in Las Vegas for those of you making travel plans. I'm sorry, go ahead, Craig.
And plus, you got to introduce those four horsewomen, MMA four horsewomen, at some point if they're going to try to do a WrestleMania thing with it. So whether that's at the Rumble or Elimination Chamber, somewhere around there.
I think you're going to see something along those lines in the next few weeks on NXT. Just so you know.
Okay.
But yeah, you're right.
My final thing is I just had one just random ass question for you guys.
Okay.
If you only had a 10-year period of your life to have been a wrestling fan, what period would that have been?
I would
say.
And
I love you guys, and I thank you, and I'll let you go.
Okay, thank you, Craig. I would say, I'm going to say 92 through 2001. Just get you through the whole Attitude Era, and I really wouldn't have wanted to stick around for, and just stop there and not stick around for what comes next. Greg?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I it's hard for me to pinpoint the years, but I would say, early 80s to maybe like 1980 to 1990, and the Crockett era and things like that for the NWA. I think that would be, it was something, I never grew up an NWA fan, WCW fan. I was a WWE fan growing up. So, I've seen enough footage of that era with Flair defending against guys like Steamboat and Wyndham and Race and things like that to where, I think that would be a really cool era to live through and to be a fan of.
I thought about that, but you're going through the part where, they get crushed. I mean, everybody gets crushed by Vince in the end.
Right.
We're almost at that. And you're almost at that point, I guess by 1990,
mm-hmm.
but,
yep.
Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, 515-605-9345. We're ready to believe you here at Wrestling Night in America. The main event on the Raw show in Salt Lake City, a six-man with the Shield teaming up against Cesaro, Sheamus, and Samoa Joe. Obviously, the Shield won that. Do you think? I suspect we're in for a prolonged Roman Reigns Samoa Joe feud leading up to WrestleMania. Because, Brock Lesnar is not going to go around and fight Reigns at the house shows.
And this goes back to the first email question we addressed as far as Roman Reigns and the Intercontinental title. Certainly putting the title on him while Miz is away filming the Marine makes Roman Reigns the de facto number one guy on Raw by virtue of Brock Lesnar not being around as Universal Champion. So, you want someone holding a title at the top of the show. Roman Reigns is a guy who WWE has pushed as a top guy, and he has the top title as it's currently defended on Raw. So it makes sense to go with him in that spot. Samoa Joe, I think, will be a really good challenger to that throne. So, I'm looking forward to that. I think Joe is slotted correctly. I think there were worries when he was called up from NXT that, Vince McMahon would get him, that his body type would hold him back, things of that nature. But it's good to see him being utilized as he is right now. I think it's the most effective Samoa Joe is when he's treated as this serious, kind of bloodthirsty character.
Mm-hmm. Okay, SmackDown last night, they're in Merida, Mexico. Let's see. Obviously, the main event, AJ Styles beats Jinder Mahal, keeps this title. Styles, according to the correspondent on ProWrestling.net, got the biggest ovation of the night. Let's see. So do you think that Styles and Jinder Mahal is going to hold people's interest for – well, it only has to do it for two more weeks, Greg.
And they've done everything they can to get involved the Singh brothers and have AJ Styles beat them, I think, 3 weeks in a row now on SmackDown, first in one-on-one matches and then in a handicap match. And then you added a little bit of intrigue this past week by having Jinder Mahal beat them up after losing to AJ Styles in the handicap match. So certainly this coming week on SmackDown, we'll be looking at what, if any, different role the Singhs play. Do they come groveling back to Jinder Mahal and apologize for losing to AJ Styles and do everything they can to get back in his good graces? Or do they say screw him and turn babyface against Jinder Mahal as Mahal's push sort of wanes? That's going to be an interesting story to look out for because they've played such a big part in his success to this point.
Yeah, and what they did last night is Sameer Singh went out with Jinder, but the other Singh brother wasn't there. So maybe that's the tease there.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, that could be interesting, playing the Singhs against each other.
Oh, speaking of teases, also last night on the Marita show, it was in a tag team match, Zack Ryder teaming with Ty Dillinger against Mojo Rawley and Eric Rowan. That was odd.
Yeah, Luke Harper left the tour because his wife was giving birth, so that would explain Eric Rowan teaming with Mojo, but certainly an interesting look of Zack Ryder and Ty Dillinger, two guys who probably would be better served in a tag team at this point, although the Usos now have appeared to turn babyface, so they'll be looking for heel challengers. So it'd make more sense, I guess, for Mojo Rawley to find a tag team partner as a heel to try and go against the Usos. But yeah, Mojo and Zack Ryder breaking up this past week on SmackDown officially after some teasing of that on television. It'll be interesting to see where both guys go from here.
Yeah, although I was really hoping that it would be Zack turning on Mojo and not the other way around, but oh well. Life's not fair in that way.
Yeah, I mean, if you follow Rob Naylor on Twitter, former NXT backstage worker, creative guy in NXT, he's been pounding the table for a while for a Mojo heel turn. He said Mojo cut some fantastic heel promos, some money promos in NXT as a heel, you know, kind of in the promo classes. So I'm kind of interested to see how this turns out with Mojo as a heel.
Okay. Also worth noting on the Mexico show, Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Sami Zayn in the opening match. Where's my sad horn sound effect? Do you think really, Greg, that this is what we've come to here with Nakamura?
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into it. You know, Sami Zayn is involved in a main event storyline with Kevin Owens, so even if he's in the opening match, he's still in a very prominent position on television. Certainly Shinsuke Nakamura is still getting the reactions. You know, there's only room at the top for a couple guys at a time, and you know, right now Nakamura had kind of had his run with Jinder, and he's being cycled out of that main event scene for right now. So long term, I wouldn't read too much into it.
Okay, as you know, over the weekend, multiple other matches were signed for Clash of Champions, including a match that they did last night in Merida in the Yucatan. The Usos versus The New Day versus Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable. Do you think? And of course, there's going to be another three-way for the U.S. title with Corbin against Ziggler and Rude. Do you think that do you think that this shows a lack of confidence in some of the SmackDown wrestlers?
I guess you could say that. You know, the Usos and New Day have had some really good matches, and it kind of feels like Gable and Jordan are sort of thrown in. They're sort of the third wheel in that match. I know that they've been involved on television with the Usos and things like that, but they really haven't stood out or had an opportunity to stand out as a tag team. So they kind of feel shoehorned into this feud a little bit. And with the U.S. title situation, certainly it's who did you say it was? Rude and Corbin and?
And Ziggler.
Ziggler, yeah. I mean, Ziggler hasn't done much at all on television, you know, aside from his stuff with Bobby Roode. So, you know, Corbin versus Roode, I that's not an appealing matchup to me. I think putting Ziggler in that match to kind of take the bumps and to work around both guys is kind of his role. So I like the addition of Ziggler, even though he hasn't meant much to SmackDown lately. Right. I like the addition to Ziggler in that match more than I like the addition of Gable and Benjamin in that tag match.
Okay. I would definitely kind of agree with that. Okay. And let's see what else there was. I think that's it for the SmackDown highlights, but we do have a question from the Twitter machine, and I'm pretty sure this is from Chicky Singer, and I'm pretty sure that's Ryan from Cumberland again, but what the heck. It's a question. He says, I thought the female Rumble was going to be 30 women. They surely have enough women after bringing up all those new lady wrestlers. You have to leave room for surprises, NXT wrestlers, and female legends like Medusa. I don't know.
I wouldn't I wouldn't do more than 20.
Yeah, I think that there are going to be women who are on the Raw and the SmackDown roster, one or two who might get left out and room for the surprises and female legends, you know?
Yeah, I'm okay with booking it the same way as the Men's Royal Rumble, where you do have a few spots for legends and you do have maybe one or two spots for call-ups, although with the six call-ups they've got here, I don't know that there's really a lot more room for any other call-ups, but yeah, I think if you look at the rosters of Raw and SmackDown now, they basically have enough to fill a 20-woman Royal Rumble at this point.
Yep, I think so. And you know, the first Rumble was 20 people. I mean, it was just a TV special, but I think that there'll be some interest if they do a 20-woman Women's Royal Rumble next month in Philadelphia, and if they don't do it, maybe NXT will do it.
Yeah, I'm worried about doing it on the same day as the Men's Royal Rumble. I wonder if there's a way they can still do it but not have it on the same day. Because, you know, you can do two Elimination Chamber matches. You can do two Hell in a Cell matches. But, man, there's something about doing two Royal Rumbles in one day that just feels like it's really watering down the concept, whereas it doesn't feel like that so much with the other.
They're totally doing two Royal Rumbles on the same show. I mean, I just don't see any way that they're going to get around it. And I think that if all the women are in it, they're not going to want to put it on the pre-show, which would be another way to get around it. But you know, we will see.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't put it on the pre-show. I'm thinking a totally different day. But yeah, it would be hard to do it a different day.
Not going to happen. Yeah. Okay. Tell you what, the number is 515-605-9345. We have a whole lot more to go over. And we might need more time, but we'll worry about that after the break. This is Wrestling Night in America on PWTorchLivecast.com.
Hey, it's Jim Valley. If you cut promos in front of a mirror, if you made a belt out of cardboard, if your parents knew to leave you alone when wrestling was on TV, then this is the show for you. Wrestling Road Stories with Jim Valley. We'll talk about and to the stars that made your childhood great. From the WWWF to WWE, WCW, Crockett, Memphis, Florida, Mid-South, and Portland, we'll talk about the unbelievable stories of running the roads and keeping kayfabe, and who knows, some of the stories might even be true. Join me Wednesdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific in the United States, Wrestling Road Stories here on the Pro Wrestling Torch Livecast with me, Jim Valley.
You are firmly ensconced in Wrestling Night in America here on PWTorchLivecast.com, the number 515-605-9345. I am Pat McNeil. He is Greg Parks. We are columnists for the Pro Wrestling Torch. And, you know, Greg, we got into the callers, we got into the guests. I don't know if we have enough. We might have to go a little long just to cover some of the stuff that's happening around here.
Yeah, we always, on Sunday nights, always seem to have a lot to talk about, and tonight is no different.
No, absolutely not. Okay, House of Hardcore last night in Waukesha, number 36 last night in Waukesha. I'm guessing it was up on Twitch, and I didn't see it. What was I watching? Oh, yeah, Clemson. So on that show, it was the triumphant return of Austin Aries in the state of Wisconsin, defeating Joey Mercury in the main event. Let's see, Austin Aries got a big reaction. Also, Candice Michelle in her retirement match defeats Lisa Marie Veron, a.k.a. Victoria, with the spinning DDT. You see, House of Hardcore is doing okay. I don't know how much of a future you have putting the shows out on Twitch, though.
Yeah, another one of those new technologies that people and wrestling companies are kind of dipping their toes in the water of. Certainly House of Hardcore and Tommy Dreamer, you know, initially being a sort of northeastern Philadelphia-based promotion, has branched out quite successfully, it seems like. So they're one of the independent promotions that are doing quite well, or seem to be doing quite well. Drawing good crowds, using a lot of big-name wrestlers. And, you know, guys like working for Tommy Dreamer. He's one of the guys that when wrestlers do interviews, you rarely hear a bad word when people talk about Tommy Dreamer. So that's good to see as well.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I'm glad he's doing well. I think he's one of the guys that got hit by you know, having the Flow Slam and Flow Slam go under, because they were doing shows on there and presumably hopefully getting paid for them. So that had to hurt. But yeah, they're putting on good lineups, and whoever filed this report really liked Willie Mack and Brian Cage, which is, I guess, not altogether surprising. Let's look at some of the other weekend results. Matt Sydal making news for the wrong reasons. He missed his flight to England for the British Championship Wrestling show, and when the promoter contacted him, he apparently said, "Well, yeah, I'll just keep it as a deposit for the next time you book me." A shocker that the guy didn't seem interested in that.
Wrestling is a business where wrestlers and promoters don't like to give away money, so I could see that being a big problem.
Okay, AAW last night in LaSalle, Illinois. Another loaded show for them. It was Zena Ion defeating Ethan Page to keep the Heritage title. Hurricane talked about he was going to face Trevor Lee, and then it wound up being turned into, Jimmy Jacobs and Hurricane versus David Starr and Trevor Lee with Starr and Lee getting the victory. It's something you don't see every day, but thought you'd like some follow-up on that. ACH and Matt Riddle, 15-minute time limit draw, considered the best match on the show. And the main event, the AAW Women's Championship Tournament, ends with Jessica Havoc defeating Rachel Ellering and Ivelisse Velez in a three-way. So there you go. And that's all set up for their big Windy City show coming on the 30th. Sounds kind of interesting. Okay, now, we talked about the Beyond Wrestling show some. That's Sunday afternoon. That's going to be an internet pay-per-view. Also, next Sunday night, which we might be semi-covering while we're doing this show, Greg, is Evolve 97, and it's they're in Massachusetts as well. Let's talk about a couple of the big matches. Walter taking on Matt Riddle. Yeah, I think there might be some interest in that one.
Yeah, and Walter's a guy who 2017 has been big for him. And facing Matt Riddle here toward the end of 2017, it's going to be a big test for both guys.
Mm-hmm. And also on the show in the main event, Zack Sabre Jr., in from New Japan, defending against Jaka, who's one half of the Doom Patrol, one of the tag team champions. That also, yep. Really nothing bad on this lineup as per usual. I don't know whether I don't know what it's going to take for Evolve and WWN to get back some of the momentum they lost, though.
Yeah, that's going to be the difficult part, and certainly, you know, Evolve and WWN having some sort of relationship with WWE could help, but you know, we don't know. That seems to be kind of a case-by-case basis right now.
Yeah, and I don't think they wanted to get involved while this was going on. Well, they're not going to get involved in any of the litigation going on between WWN and Flow Slam. I think what's going to be one of the focal points of this negotiation is that Flow Slam probably has no money at this point.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so NXT last night, they were in Bel Air, Maryland, speaking of Maryland, and as maybe an experiment, Lars Sullivan came out as a babyface to take on Adam Cole. What do you think of the I'm sure it was just a test. What do you think of the prospects of that?
Well, if they go with the Braun Strowman blueprint, you know, Strowman came in as a heel and sort of by his own actions turned himself babyface, and that's the easiest comparison you can draw with Lars Sullivan with someone current. So maybe NXT is just getting ahead of the curve and figuring, well, if he's going to stay this dominant monster who just eats everybody up, he's going to get turned babyface organically anyway, so let's turn him babyface before it gets to that point.
Do you think that when they call him up, Lars Sullivan grows a beard and becomes the mini-me of Braun Strowman?
I would do Lars Sullivan on SmackDown. I would have my own monster, one on each brand.
Hmm. That's a good idea. They don't seem to they don't seem to care as much about SmackDown as they do as they do Raw. But that's definitely a possibility. All right, over on Impact, we had a really, really lengthy match going on between Johnny Impact and Alberto El Patron. Not a bad match by any stretch of the imagination, but this was treated as important, and they're obviously continuing this going forward. Do you think that this is the direction that they can use to keep the company going?
Well, when you've got Eli Drake as champion, it's going to be tough. It was, Johnny Impact versus Alberto El Patron was certainly a brutal match. If you watch the match, lots of bruising, lots of painful-looking spots on Johnny Impact. So he paid the price dearly for that one. Johnny Impact is a guy who, if you just watch what he did in the ring, you'd think this guy's a huge star, and then you watch his interviews, and he comes off as just so inauthentic. And it's hard, I think, for him to get over as a character with the fans watching at home, even as good and mesmerizing as he can be in the ring at times. And Alberto El Patron, left a bad taste in your mouth with the promo and the work and the push at Bound for Glory. I don't know if there's I don't know if he's the guy you kind of want to build around even as a heel on Impact Wrestling, but they just don't have anybody else beyond him and Eli Drake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah, Wade had James Storm on, and obviously there's going to be, I think, more of the James Storm interview. I don't know if there's more of the interview. I don't remember if there's more of the James Storm interview next week, but let's assume there is. Storm got Storm's being treated as important on the show, which is fine. And he got a win over Texano. I think he's one of those guys that it's a bellwether. You didn't want to lose a James Storm, I wonder if what they're keeping is going to be losing Laurel Van Ness. Just a role player, but I wonder if what they're keeping is going to be enough to save them.
Yeah, they've got Lashley and Moose, and Lashley is a guy who he's been out of the title picture for a few months now, so you could rotate him in as a heel. Moose, I don't know if he's ready for that top spot in Impact, but he's a guy who's there, and he's gotten himself over to the Impact audience, so he's certainly a guy you could use in that spot, too. This is a group that doesn't really have pay-per-views other than one or two a year and has 2 hours of TV each week, so it's not like they need a giant roster, but the guys that they have now in those spots, they all have, they all have sort of qualities that hold them back from being a top guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but somebody has to be, and I think that's the bottom line as far as Impact goes. Okay, and we have a pretty impressive NXT main event this coming week. As they're going to start the matches, which lead up to choosing a challenger for Andrade Cien Almas. And you have Johnny Gargano and Cassius Ohno, two guys who have been treated as good, but not quite at the top level.
And Gargano's arguably been one of the MVPs of NXT this year since Tommaso Ciampa has been out. Gargano has really, even though he isn't winning a lot, he's impressing in his singles matches. And Ohno is kind of he's a role player right now in NXT. He's a guy with the credibility to step into a main event spot if injuries hit and things like that. But he's not a guy who I think is going to be pushed long term. It's kind of like we talked about Shinsuke Nakamura earlier and him in the opener of that show. And I kind of said I don't see it as a long term thing. Whereas it's kind of the opposite for Cassius Ohno. He's a guy who, again, can play that role, but I don't think it's just a matter of waiting for a hole to open up for him to be back in the main events. I think this is kind of going to be his role going forward with NXT.
Okay, we also have, I did find the main event for Impact next week. It's going to be more in the Knockouts title tournament. Ali versus Sienna versus Rosemary, which, at least that seems presentable, I think. But it's not going to be anything to make people switch channels, over to, I can't miss Impact this week. And I think that they need more of that sort of thing, and we're not seeing it.
And again, they're limited by their roster, though. There's not a lot of people you can put in that spot that would get people to change over to Impact.
That is true. Also, the World Tag League continues. We're seeing some of the interesting American teams, Juice Robinson and Sammy Callahan. I probably need to see them in action. And I know there's another American team I wanted to see this coming week, but this isn't the primo stuff that you expect from New Japan, but it's going to be interesting to see. Well, there you go. Trent Beretta and Chuck Taylor are in there. Michael Elgin, Jeff Cobb fighting the Gorillas of Destiny. Some interesting stuff that we're a month away from Wrestle Kingdom, and Wrestle Kingdom is going to air here. It's going to air 48 hours behind on Access. this is going to be interesting to see how well New Japan gets received.
Yeah, I wonder how many people in America have New Japan World versus how many have access to Access TV. I'm disappointed because I don't, but it's a lot quicker turnaround than what we've seen with New Japan on Access. So 48 hours, people will still be, if you're New Japan, hopefully, people will still be talking about that match. So the buzz will still be there and it'll make people want to check it out.
I'm looking forward to it, and I think a lot of people are as well. And I think some people who are on the fence will want to see Jericho and Kenny Omega, and that's what they're hoping for. All right, Greg, another busy week. Thank you very much for being with us as part of Wrestling Night in America. And, Greg, we look forward to doing this again next week with you.
Pleasure, Pat. Look forward to it.
All right, and for the rest of you, we talk often about becoming a VIP member here at PWTorch.com and how you do that by going to PWTorch.com/GoVIP. But don't take my word for it. Take the word of the announcer guy who will be explaining it to you next.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Cutter Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Cutter Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.